talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To save his life. Call his wife in. Hey, 405. How are we doing on this Wednesday morning? McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We got Alex on the other side rolling with us for another hour as we take your calls at 888-808-1019. We open with the baseball as the Yankees and Juan Soto is a New York Yankee. That's right. Three home runs last night. And for me, it's not about the idea they beat the Chicago White Sox. It's not about necessarily, it's not the day to pound your chest off of last night's, the day before, 12-2 loss to the White Sox. But it is, when you consider yesterday for a Yankee fan, which I am one, we all know. When you consider, for me, I woke up to the news of the injury to Jazz Chisholm. And we were optimistic that it wasn't that big a deal. And maybe next time, if your elbow's hurting, don't spin it like a helicopter in the dugout. I don't know if he hurt himself further spinning his arm like that. But anyway, you wake up to the news of what you thought was probably going to be a harmless little elbow injury and find out that he's got, you know, a UCL injury, and we're still not sure what it is, whether it's season-ending surgery or whether it's a month on the IL or 2 weeks on the IL. We're waiting on further results, but it ain't good. And to find out the really one major trade acquisition that was made at the disappointing trade deadline is now gone. A guy who came in here and made a crazy impact right away with all the home runs, the base running, which is how he got hurt on an extremely athletic play. He brought youth, he brought exuberance, he brought swag, he brought home runs, and he brought a change in the demeanor of the entire team. And on a day after one of the more embarrassing losses where you get beat up by one of the worst teams in the history of the sport, then you find out Jazz Chisholm is out. Juan Soto just lifted our spirits for a day, and watching him hit those three home runs, watching him carry this team in a game they can't afford to lose. Yes, Nestor Cortez, big part of it too. And again, not going to go nuts about beating the White Sox, but it is a team that scored 12 runs and had, 12, 14, 15, 16 hits the day before. And Nestor Cortez has been so bad. That's a major positive no matter how you shake it. Seven shutout innings from Nestor Cortez and the way he pitched in this game and the stuff he had and the swing and miss stuff. No doubt an important performance and hopefully something he can build on because they need him. Whether or not he's going to get shipped to the bullpen, whether or not he's going to make a playoff start, I don't know. It doesn't look like that, but however, they need him down the stretch of the season just to try and secure this division. So that's an enormous start for him. And between those two things, yeah, the bullpen's still incredibly shaky. You were down Clay Holmes, you're down a couple guys, and you got, you know, Cousins closing the game out after, you know, Canely walked two guys in the inning, and it's just bases loaded, three-run lead only to just hold on, nip and tuck to beat the Chicago White Sox. By no means are we pounding our chest today, but the fact of the matter is Juan Soto is a New York Yankee, and watching him hit those home runs makes you realize as much as we hate this team at times, you more than me, but as much as we hate this team at times, and we're frustrated that the bullpen's in the shape it is, we're frustrated that the offense has quote-unquote two hitters and we're frustrated by the rotation. The idea that those two hitters happen to be two of the best, three or four offensive players in the sport, and Juan Soto at any moment can go off. He's having the best year of his career hitting in front of Aaron Judge. And whatever we might be upset about, the fact of the matter is, and I'm not harping on this as being accused by many other players, many callers today, I'm just telling you the plain truth of it all. The New York Yankees have as many wins as anybody in baseball. They have two of the three, four best hitters in the sport in the middle of their lineup. They got an ace at the top of the rotation, and they've got as good a chance as anybody to win the whole damn thing. And watching Juan Soto on a day where I would think, I know for me as a Yankee fan, we were in the dumps as much as you could possibly be in. with the record what they have, with the idea of being a half a game out of first place heading into the game, as low as you could be, losing Chisholm, watching that performance the night before, being 5-5 over the first 10 games of a stretch where they're playing the last place Blue Jays, the underachieving Rangers, the always terrible Angels, and the worst team in the history of baseball, to have series against all of those teams and be 5-5, coming off an embarrassing loss where the White Sox scored more runs than they had all year, biggest margin of victory they've had all year, and they're on pace to beat the 62 Mets as the worst thing we've ever seen. It was kind of a glum day. And to watch Juan Soto rise above and carry the team while the rest of the offense did nothing, Juan Soto with his 3 home runs and 4 RBIs helped the Yankees get a much-needed victory, overtake first place over the Orioles, who lost to the Nationals and gave up 9 runs to the Nationals as their rotation's in complete disarray. And you hear Juan Soto after the game in the postgame talk about how much he loves hitting in front of Judge, how great Judge is. Here, this is the postgame last night. Soto and Judge talking like best friends.
You know, I got my money on Juan in that situation. But, you know, he did what he did. He passed the baton and, you know, gave it to the next guy. And that's who he is. That's why he's, you know, the greatest hitter in the game.
He called you the greatest hitter in the sport. How do you feel about that?
I call him the greatest here in the world. I mean, he's, look at his numbers. He's just unbelievable. I mean, he makes my job easier. He makes me my play appearances a little bit better, you know, because when you're hitting in front of a guy like that, it just, you know, you're getting pitches. So he's the greatest one.
You're the greatest. No, you're the greatest. No, really, you're the greatest. No, come on. You know you're the greatest. Let's go grab dinner. That's right. You got two of the greatest hitters, not only of this season, of this generation, and possibly of all of baseball. Two of the greatest hitters of all time. Right in the middle of that lineup. And Juan Soto is a Yankee, and he will be a Yankee because of that exact reason. Because as great as his career has been, and as much as he's accomplished already in a World Series champion and leading the league in walks and OPS and all the other stuff he's done over the course of his career, he's having the best year of his career right now, hitting in front of Judge, playing in the pinstripes, playing in front of 40,000 people every night. So I don't want to hear this crap about where he's going. Right now, he is a New York Yankee. He's loving it. And despite the fact that you hate this team, and despite the fact that they aren't clearly the best team in the American League, and they should be, and more should have been done at the trade deadline, and more should have been done at the start of the year, the bullpen's in disarray, all the stuff, the fact of the matter is they lead the run. They lead the league in runs scored. They lead the league in wins. They're a half game in front of first place, and he's going nowhere. And every once in a while, we need that reminder as we're bogged down in the craziness of a Major League Baseball season. And damn it, did we need it yesterday. So thank you, Juan Soto. Thank you. Now do it today with Will Warren on the mound, because God knows what's going to happen with the White Sox. I don't know. Anything is possible. Except this Met offense getting back to where it was a month ago. No, that is possible. But right now, that's the other story in baseball, as they lose their 4th consecutive game. Get beat around a little bit by the Oakland A's as they're going through a stretch of playing poor teams. I know Seattle's not a poor team, but they got swept by Seattle. They lost the series to Anaheim. They've started this first game at the homestand where they're playing the Oakland A's and the Miami Marlins before taking on Baltimore. So get your act together, Mets. But Paul Blackburn, who was great in his first 2 starts since the trade deadline, reverted back to, now I don't know if he's this bad necessarily, he had nothing, no location, got, you know, gave up 3 runs early and it kept getting worse. But he's somewhere in between what he was yesterday and what he's been the first 2 starts. He is not a top of the rotation guy. He's a back end of the rotation guy. This is what are you going to get, you know, from game to game from him. Obviously, a lot of people talking about Austin Adams, the reliever for Oakland, rubbing your face in it and mocking up the OMG song and cursing up a storm, angry with the Mets for cutting him in spring training. Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line for the last 3 games in Seattle, the bottom line for last night, the bottom line for, you know, this downturn since the hot stretch last month. The offense is the only unit on this team that can carry the Mets. right? At times, the rotation's been good enough not to sink you. At times, the bullpen's been good enough not to sink you. Defensively, they've been pretty good, but what they are, what their bread and butter is, and what will win the Met game, what win Mets games, is scoring runs. And the nature of top to bottom having as many good hitters as they've had, the top to bottom, you know, the most guys with above average OPS in the league, guys like Bader coming through every opportunity, Vientos having the year he had, JD Martinez, who was hit by a pitch and left this game, x-rays negative, should be fine. And guys like Nimmo, who has now been awful for a month. And watching this team, it is plain to see. Right? The Yankees have two hitters. The Mets have a bunch. Both units need to score a ton of runs if they're going to win games. And the Mets in particular, that's what they're based on. Yeah, you know, they've lost Senga. We're worried about the innings that Severino's already pitched. Certainly Paul Blackburn's, you know, what he is. Manaea coming off a brutal start after two brilliant ones. Peterson, like the rotation has its moments and overall can be relatively average or slightly better. Quintana had a decent start his last time out too, but ultimately they need to mash. And what they did in Seattle ain't going to cut it. What they did today in Oakland ain't going to cut it. 4-for-16 with runners in scoring position, had opportunities left and right to get back into this game, unable to do so. We've talked about how Pete Alonso needs to carry him. He actually came through with a hit in this game but to score a couple runs, but he needs to be better. Nimmo needs to wake the hell up. JD Martinez needs to wake the hell up because that's how this team is built. And right now, the Diamondbacks don't lose. The Padres don't lose. They are now six games behind those two. So, like, the wild card has completely shifted from where we talked about a week ago. A week ago, we were talking about this stretch against bad teams, this homestand against Oakland and Miami, and the idea of trying to pick up games because the important series are coming up, a four-game set in San Diego and a three-game set in Arizona, and that's where, you know, this whole thing could be decided. You're looking to, you know, get tiebreakers and all that. Forget that. I mean, those are important games because the Mets just need to flat-out win games to stay in this thing, but those two teams are gone. Those two teams, in the meantime, in the last week, they're six games better than the Mets, who are two games behind Atlanta for the last wild card. Those teams are running and hiding. Those teams are winning every night, extra innings, walk-offs. This is down to the Braves, the Mets, the Cardinals, the Giants, four teams playing for one spot. That's it. That's become the wild card. What we thought was going to be this race of multiple teams fighting for multiple spots, I feel like those two teams are clearly not only the two best in this race, but arguably in all of baseball. Who's hotter than them? You can't lose games to the Oakland A's right now. You can't lose games to the Marlins. So, you know, these next five games before you take on Baltimore, who's obviously a very talented team, you got to win four of these next five, bare minimum. You got to keep up with the Braves right now because the Diamondbacks and Padres are gone. So that's where we are on this baseball morning. We talked a little football as well. Always welcome the football calls. 888-808-1019. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris.
How you doing? Good morning, Daniel. How are we doing?
Doing very well, very well. It looks like Juan Soto had some pop off that bat, huh? That was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Great game.
I didn't. I'm sorry you broke up, so I didn't catch your pun there. But yes, it was a.
Juan Soto had some pop off the bat.
Oh, soda, yeah. Like soda pop. Is that where you went? I like it.
Yes,
he did. He had some pop off that bat, and I mean, listen. Typically, left-handed hitters don't go oppo the way he went oppo. I mean, that is, he's hitting line drives, 15-20 rows up opposite field. He's those three home runs. First of all, how important they are. That first two-run home run. I mean, you want to talk about an important hit, right? Coming off that loss, the offense needed to just get out in front. And, you know, Nestor was dealing, and you felt fairly good about that, but they needed to get a lead. That home run to give them a 2-0 lead was enormous. And then, obviously, the next two just pile on and show you the greatness that is Juan Soto. But, yeah, he's special. He's special. And it sucks that we have to do this. I'm doing it myself. Everything is under the guise of what he's going to be next, where he's going to be next year, what he's going to do next year. And the fact of the matter is, right now he's in the middle of a lineup that has an opportunity to do something. He's right in the middle of a team that has an opportunity to do something. And so to watch him kind of on a day where they lost Jazz Chisholm, and we'll find out for how long, hopefully not for the season, although I think that's likely, unfortunately. They're coming off a miserable loss. They need their worst starting pitcher over the last 2 months to have a good performance. The bullpen you knew was still going to be down Holmes and maybe even Weaver and Tonkin. And the fact of the matter was they needed to win that game, and Juan Soto was there with the Superman cape. And it's just a good, solid reminder that, yeah, they only have two hitters, but they're not just any hitters. They have two of the greatest hitters of this generation and possibly of all time. So it's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, they only have two hitters and it's, you know, Langoliers and Rooker. Like, they have two hitters and it's two of the greats. And at any moment, they could put on the Superman cape. And Juan Soto did it last night. Judge has done it for 2 months. And listen, I still think they have some answers there. I like what Wells is doing. He had a bullet in the ninth inning with the bases loaded. That should have led to more runs and maybe an easier bottom of the ninth. Unfortunately, he was snagged for a double play on a line drive. I still think Stanton is as clutch as they come for the New York Yankees, and I expect him to be there at the end of the season. But here's the fact of the matter is the Yankees are a playoff team. And what it's going to come down to is what shape this bullpen is in at the end of the year and how this offense is swinging the bat at the end of the year. And Juan Soto, unlike some of the other players in this lineup, has been a proven postseason performer and someone I don't think anybody doubts is going to be there and is going to perform when the lights are brightest. And he's going to have Aaron Judge hitting behind him.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back the path, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right. The pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So, you know, all this talk about preseason, whether Aaron Rodgers should play. I guess Daniel Jones is going to play. And what the preseason is and how important it is to play. And the brand of football that starts week one and how preseason has changed and the players aren't as ready and all that conversation. If you want to know, like, I just heard something and saw something that describes how the preseason is viewed. I mean, you heard Aaron Rodgers yesterday talk about the preseason's different. It's more about making sure these young players can, you know, handle the bright lights and blah, blah, blah. It's not really getting ready for the year, all the stuff. It's changed in many ways. So, but Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the New England Patriots, yesterday said, when talking about fights, I guess some fights popped up in his practices, and obviously fights have been, you know, rampant throughout camp. That's not anything new. The Giants and Lions particularly got fined $200,000 each by the NFL for the amount of fighting that they had. So, but if you want to know how preseason and spring training, I get them intertwined. If you want to know how preseason is perceived, when asked about the fighting, Gerard Mayo said, you know, this fighting is nonsense. Like, you don't fight in the regular season. If you fight in the regular season, you get fined. So here's my message to the players. If you're a starter and you get into a fight, you're playing the entire preseason game. And if you're a non-starter and you get into a fight, you're not playing the preseason. That's it right there. I mean, like, these are supposed to be designed, right? The idea of preseason is to get ready for the season. That's what you always thought. The Patriots are using it as punishment. If you're a starter and you do things we don't like, I'm going to make you play in the preseason. I'm going to make you play that preseason game. You better not mess around. You want that day off? You want to just be a cheerleader on the sideline and watch all the young kids play? You better not start any fights. Otherwise, you're playing that game. So I thought that was hilarious. His message for fighters or his players who might get into fights, if you're a starter and you get into a fight, you're playing the whole game. And if you're a bench guy looking to make a name for himself, if you're someone who's on the bubble for making this team, now you can't play in the preseason where you have an opportunity to put stuff on film and make this team or make another team. So that's what the preseason is. It is strictly for the bottom of the barrel, trying to see who's the last couple guys on your roster. That's it. It's punishment for starters. Punishment. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Sam in Watchung, what's up, Sam?
Hey, C-Mac, I really enjoy your show all the
Thank
time.
Thank you.
Yes, I got if I have time, maybe three, but two Juan Soto.
Don't think you can come up with a compliment and then sneak four or five items in. I wasn't born yesterday, you know, so what do you got?
Well, for sure, you touched on it earlier. Yeah. There's no better place to hit than in front of Aaron
Judge. No, there is no
better
Aaron
place. Judge.
You're the best. No, and, you're the best.
And I tell you, I've been watching the Yankees a real long time, mm-hmm. you know, since, the late 60s. And I never remember a left-hand hitter going the opposite way as good as him.
No, he's incredible.
I mean,
there's not, those home runs are unique. Not just to him, but, I mean, he does it as well as anybody. His opposite field power, his ability to wait on a pitch. Like, even like some of them, I didn't think he barreled up the first one, and he still sends it out the other way.
Yeah, they look like pop-ups at first for me.
Well, the second one I knew he got. The first one I wasn't sure, other than if you watch him, he acted like he got it, which gave me confidence. But off the bat, I wasn't sure. The second one off the bat, I was like, wow. And then clearly the high fastball on the third one where he pulls it, you knew that was gone the second he left at bat too. I mean, he's special. He's on a little bit of a home run tear here. I mean, he's already got, you know, I think his highest is 35 and he's at 33. His highest is 36 and he's at 33. Let me double check that. Like, he's going to have the most home runs in his career. He could arguably have the best season of his career right now hitting in front of Judge. And I mean, this is as good as it gets for him. His career high is 35 he hit last year, and he hit 34 in 2019. So his high total mark for home runs is 35. Today is August 14th, and he's at 33. I mean,
the other thing is I can't bear losing him.
No.
You know, I think it would be devastating.
Yes.
And I also think that they would survive next year if they didn't have him.
Oh,
but I definitely
they're the Yankees. They'll survive. They'll pivot and bring in somebody else. I mean, will they be as good as they could be? Maybe not. Will they win or have a great team? I can't promise you that. I mean, but they will be a contender. They'll be a playoff team, or hopefully right around a playoff team. They'll have Judge, Cole, and they'll spend that money somewhere. If he comes off the books, you got Torres coming off the books. He's making $30 million. That comes off the books. I think you could argue Clay Holmes would come off the books. They'll go out and pay for somebody. Somebody will come here. So, I mean, I don't think the Yankees fall off a cliff without him, but they got to sign him. I completely agree with you. The fan base will be despondent unless they win a World Series. If they win a World Series, I guess it's up for grabs, but I would, because it wouldn't be that we wouldn't want him. If they win the World Series, everybody's going to be like, oh, you got to bring him back. He helped win the World Series. But ultimately, any sort of pain would subside in the idea that we did celebrate a championship. So,
okay, keep up the good work.
Oh,
buddy.
Thank you. I thought you wanted the third thing. Apparently not. Here I am. I would have hung up on you a minute ago. I'm trying to be a nice guy. You came on with a compliment. You said three things. Dan in Lafayette. What's up, Dan?
Yo, C-Mac.
What's up, Danny?
Not much. Dude, I had the craziest dream last night. And when I woke up this morning, I was like, no way.
Mm-hmm. What do you got?
I had a dream last night that Juan Soto hit three home runs, and so did Judge, but it went in a very weird way. Soto hit his first one, Judge followed up. Soto hit his second one, Judge followed up. Then Judge's third at bat, they ended up walking him, and the guy behind him hits a home run. Wow, okay. So Soto comes up in the ninth. they walk Soto, and Judge hits his third home run. So when I woke up this morning, I was like, there's no way. It didn't happen, but, man, that would have been pretty cool. This is a team that would be able to do that.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for that some dream you had there. I got a little lost in it for a second. I was trying to think of some of my dreams, and they're completely different. My dreams are really weird where I can't swim or I can't run very fast or people are chasing me and I'm doomed to get caught. But you have wonderful dreams. I don't have anything like that. That's and plus, then it comes true where he hits three home runs. Took me through that whole sequence there, did he? Yeah. It feels like a dream sometimes watching Judge and Soto go back-to-back and to belly-to-belly. In fact, you know what? I only heard the one call. Let's play a little of Manuel Barbari. Let me hear the Soto home run calls. Let's see. I know, obviously, Craig got a Soto home run call. Craig had the Jazz Chisholm home run call. Craig did a great job. We played some of his highlights the other day. All right, let me hear Emmanuel as, you know, everyone fights to get John's job. Oh, by the way, real quick, I'll get to that in a second. Sam Rosen announced, before I forget it, Sam Rosen announced this is going to be the last year doing Ranger games, and that is just devastating news. I mean, Sam is absolutely the best. You know, him and Joe do an amazing job on MSG. I love him. And to lose, you know, him and John, and when I say lose, obviously I mean no longer have them broadcasting the games. Thankfully, I hope they live long, healthy, wonderful lives in retirement. But as the sport fan of a Yankee Ranger fan like me, within a year, have both of those just incredible voices of the team be gone within a year of them of each other is just devastating. And it's a power play goal will just, you know, forever be entrenched in all of us. So, Sam, thank you for everything. And I wish you the best. But we got another year to watch. And I can't wait for this Ranger team. Hopefully it's a special year. Now they have to go out there and win a championship. The Yankees have to win a championship and have John Sterling in the booth for the final out of the World Series. Doesn't have to call it, but he better be there. And then, of course, now hopefully Sam Rosen can call another Stanley Cup champion New York Rangers season. That would be phenomenal. But, okay, so here's Emmanuel Barbari, who's going to take both their jobs. And he got a chance to call three Juan Soto home runs. Let's hear how they went.
One-on-one out, 1-1. Soto drives it. Left field, it's deep. Benintendi back on the run at the wall. Gone. Goodbye for Juan Soto. Number 31, a two-run smash, and the Yankees have a 2-0 lead. The 3-1, Soto drives another, deep left center field, way back and gone, goodbye. Second tonight for Juan, number 32. Oh, it's a Soto show in Chicago, and the Yankees have a 3-0 lead. Here's a 3-2. Soto drives another, deep right field, way back and gone, goodbye. A three-homer night for Juan Soto. Oh, he's sensational.
Another one. I thought that maybe they, that's not, I thought that was somewhat clever. Another one? I got to tell you, I think Craig ran rubbed off on Susan. She likes to talk. You definitely heard a lot of Susan there in the background of all three of those calls. Because it's mystifying. It deserves an oh my. Unbelievable. What a night for Juan Soto. To carry this team, they needed it desperately, that's for sure. And to hit two opposite field the way he did and then hit that bomb, all four runs, just enough to barely hang on to beat the White Sox. But yeah, just special stuff, man. And just take a second. Like, honestly, I said this earlier. For all you, I deal with so many of you, and maybe there's not as many as I think there are, although I think I'm right. For all of you Yankee fans who despise the team, like, despise the team, and every turn is an opportunity, everything is, like, Juan Soto hits three home runs, and the thought process is, it's going to suck when Cheap House Steinbrenner doesn't re-sign him. Like, that's literally the response from a lot of the fan base, and I know you're all frustrated with the team, and I understand why, but the hatred is a bit much. Just take a second. Take a second from your, you know, misery about being a Yankee fan, you know, long-suffering Yankee fan that you are. Take a minute and just recognize what you get to watch every day. This has been whatever happens, it'll be a frustrating year at times. The offense completely went in the tank. We get it, how miserable they were for 2 months. But every day, we get to see Aaron Judge and Juan Soto hit in the same lineup and go back-to-back. And to watch Juan Soto play, I mean, that's the other, like, honestly, as much as I want, it's almost on par with winning. I love watching him play the game. Like, I love the baseball season. I love watching Yankee baseball. I love watching Met baseball. I love watching baseball. And I'm a Yankee fan, and I love watching these games. I get up for every single one of them. I watch every single inning of every single game. Watching Juan Soto play is a joy. Like, as much as how much he helps them win, I enjoy the six-month, 162-game marathon of a season that we're there for every single day. And to watch this guy attack and watch this guy battle and fight pitches and the Soto shuffle and everything that goes with it, just to watch his expertise at the dish, it's something special. And last night was a special night for him, his first ever three-run home game. And right now, three-run homer game. And in front of Judge, hopefully he's going nowhere. And Hal, this is for you tonight, man. You know it. You can't let him go. And hopefully they get another big win tonight with Will Warren on the mound. But yeah, it might take four home runs to win tonight.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 446. Since it is Yankee Hot Stove, the other Yankee bit of news is the Old Timers Day. They're going to celebrate the 09 championship team. Yes, that's right, the last time the Yankees won a championship, 2009. And Alex Rodriguez, Mr. Let's Give His Number Out to Everybody, is going to be there. Derek Jeter is going to be there. Well, that's going to be a problem. I guess they've mended all their fences. I guess they're good now. They've been on Fox together. They're happy. But, you know, Matsui, the World Series MVP, that great 09. I'm sure Nick Swisher will be there acting crazy. Celebrating the 09 team, and to see Alex Rodriguez, that's how you know you're old. When you remember, like, these guys, obviously I remember when Derek Jeter came up. These guys are now in old-timers days. And I was, you know, there, I remember watching them making their major league appearance. I remember watching Derek Jeter making the over-shoulder catch in shallow left field in opening day against Cleveland, hitting that home run. I know his first technical appearance was in 95 in May, I think. And then he was obviously a call-up in September. But I remember his first day, 1996, first opening day. And now he's playing old-timers games. Crazy. And Alex Rodriguez should get a nice pop from the crowd. It should all be over now. He should have his number retired. There's no doubt about it. 13 should no longer be worn by anybody. It deserves to be not only hung up in this studio, but at Yankee Stadium. He deserves it. It's just stupid. It is. Let's be honest. I know the steroid stuff. I know he sued team doctors. I don't care. The guy played, what, 13 years here? He won a World Series championship. He won two MVPs. Name another guy who's got 1,000 RBIs in a Yankee uniform, played more than a decade, won a championship, and won multiple MVPs, and isn't in Monument Park. As great as Mr. October was, Reggie played 5-6 years with the Yankees. I mean, this guy was here for a decade, won two MVPs. And a championship, and wasn't just along for the ride. I know ultimately he wasn't that good a playoff performer, but in 09, he carried that team to a championship. He should have been the ALCS MVP. Alex Rodriguez deserves his number, retired. And maybe this will be the beginning of it, mending fences, coming back to Yankee Stadium for Old-Timers Day. So if you're there that day, cheer A-Rod. Do yourself a favor. Be on the right side of history. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Did you catch Aaron Rodgers on yesterday morning?
Not live. I saw, and I might not have seen the entire interview, but I saw a lot of it.
Man, I feel sorry for the Jet fans, man. He's already in retirement mode, talking about bucket list.
Yeah.
And he might be booking something for the first week of OTAs next year. He's booking. He's already checked out, man. He's using the Jets as a retirement platform.
Nah, he's ready to take him to the Super Bowl.
Listen, man, I'm telling you. You want me to give you a quick scenario of the season?
Sure. Give me the Eddie and Rothman scenario of the Jet season.
All right. Now, we're trying to remember this, Chris, because I know sometimes your memory, you know, like the bicycle tour, your memory doesn't work so
That's
well.
The bicycle tour, I said yes, and then nobody contacted me. I didn't hear a thing. Like, well, I got to chase people.
Well,
I remember hearing LaPresti got pressured into doing it and said yes. And then it was like, hey, this person's going to email you. This person's going to contact you.
They didn't get pressured. They got offered things. Problem is you didn't get offered nothing. LaPresti got offered golf clubs.
Yeah.
BT offered a jet helmet. They didn't offer you anything.
No, I didn't get offered anything. Nobody contacted me, and I get nothing but grief I'm not all in, and I didn't say I said yes and ducked it.
Okay, you want to hear? Here's the Jets season.
Yes.
Right? Week one.
Week one.
Loss.
Okay. Oh, we're not doing win-loss. Just give me an idea of how the season goes.
All right. In the first 3 weeks, there's three losses, then an injury to Rodgers that lasts about 2 to 3 weeks. Right about then, around he comes back, it'll be a little ginger again. So I guess, the season will probably be over by week 10.
Okay.
I think. He seems like he doesn't have that. He's just too lackadaisical for me. And when you start talking about having, you got to do a bucket list and you might plan something for next year's OTAs. I know it's a joke and stuff.
Yes.
But you know what? His mind's not on the Jets winning a Super Bowl. I would think that would be number one.
I mean, listen, you're going to call him lackadaisical. The guy literally busted his ass and came back faster from an injury than anybody in history. Like, I'm sorry. Aaron Rodgers is not lackadaisical. Aaron Rodgers, as long as he stays healthy, is going to play well. He's going to win. And the Jets are going to win. I believe it. I honestly do. I believe it. I think they're better than everybody in this. I think they're the best team in the division. I think the Bills have obviously taken a step back in their cap situation. They still have the best quarterback in the division. But, that's how much I think of Aaron Rodgers, but I'd have to be fair. Coming off not playing last year in a disappointing year the year before, I know two MVPs prior to that, but I have to be fair. As good as Josh Allen is, I still think Aaron Rodgers could end up being and have the best season of any quarterback in the division, but I have to be fair to start with. I don't trust Miami as far as I can throw them. I know they're explosive. I know the offense can be dynamic. I still have to see them do it on the road late in the year in a big spot, come into New Jersey late in the year, go play a playoff game in Kansas City or Baltimore and actually come through. I have to see that before I'll believe it'll happen. And I really think the Jets are going to be very, very talented. As long the offensive line's revamped, if it blocks for them, you got a dynamic running back. You got a young, great stud wide receiver. Now Mike Williams just off the PUP list. I think that's going to help immensely with their offensive weapons. I think that's a major check, offensive line, hopefully check as long as it stays healthy. And the defense is legit along with the best, possible corner tandem in the entire league and great defensive backfield and a front 17 without Hassan Reddick that's good enough to stuff the run and get after the quarterback. Williams is one of the better tackles in the league. I think they're elite. I think the Jets are really good. Now, it needs Rodgers. And even if it's for a couple of weeks, Tyrod Taylor is a legitimate backup. It's far better than Zach Wilson. I think the team would not lose complete faith in the situation like they did for Zach Wilson. So, if Rodgers, sprains an ankle, if Rodgers does something where he needs to miss 2, 3, 4 weeks, the team could probably get by. But they need him to play, clearly, like every other team. But as long as he's on the field, I do believe in this Jet team. Bernadette, Oceanside. Hello, Bernadette.
Hello, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
Nothing much. I think Aaron Rodgers is a cutie patootie.
I think he's just adorable. I think cutie patootie is a perfect way to describe Aaron Rodgers.
I wanted to just say that you were talking about Alex and Jeter coming in for Old Timers Day.
Yep.
And, you know, my brother just had a block party this past weekend, and all of us were sitting around, and, you know, I said to his brother-in-law, Al, that we are the old people now in our family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how sad is that? That we have to cook everything, clean everything.
Yeah.
There's so more people above us that did that. They're all gone, and God rest their souls.
Right.
You know,
now we're the parents with the kids running around, sitting at the kid table. It was just a blink of an eye. I was watching, you know, Derek Jeter play for the New York Yankees. I was at the kids' table. I didn't have to worry about anything. You're 100% right. Now I'm the dad carving the turkey. When the hell did that happen?
I know. You know, they say that the days are long, but the years fly by.
Yeah, 100% true.
And it is so true, because now I'm a grandma, and I live for these little children. I do.
Yeah. No, it's
they're the future of my family.
Sure. And one day they'll be sitting around at the Aaron Judge retirement, or Aaron Judge showing up to the old timers game going, when the hell did we become the adults? It's true. It goes by extremely fast. The years do pass by. It's crazy. It is amazing that I'm 40. I don't feel 40. And honestly, I'll say this. I'm totally true. I'm just being transparent because we're a family. And I feel like I can tell you my deepest, darkest fears and secrets. Like, there are times where I will be having a conversation, you mentioned at a block party or at a function or something. And I know I got into sports partly because of this. But, like, I'll be talking with people my age, sometimes younger than me. But, like, you know, part of the guys who work and live in the neighborhood I live in or just wherever. They have kids, young kids, just like me. They could be older, a couple years older, a couple years younger, same age group. And they'll be talking, and I will think they'll be talking about something or other. They'll be talking about finance. They'll be talking about the stuff they had to do to their house. They'll be talking about this guy to come up and dig up the backyard, and the power lines were there, and we had to worry about this as I was building the garage, and they got this going on. And I'll just be like, these are adults. I'm not an adult. I'm a kid. These guys are adults. Like, it's weird. I still feel like that way. I feel like I'm a kid sometimes. Like, I'll feel like, I don't know if I belong in this conversation. I'm just going to go and, you know, play ping pong in the corner or something. It's hard. Like, when do you stop feeling like you're still, like, a young kid at heart? I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Sevy in Norwalk. What's up, Sevy?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Hey, I'll start by saying I'm not an A-Rod guy.
Okay.
Right? But I agree with you on the retired thing, and I'll tell you what a caveat. Nothing to do with steroids.
Okay.
I think the retired number thing has been diluted right now to the point where, based on the current standards, you absolutely got to get him retired.
Yeah.
Because we've retired numbers that don't deserve to be retired.
That's
100%
true.
Yeah, we interviewed for our podcast. By the way, we interviewed your buddy Chris, Keith McPherson. We'd love to have you on as well.
Yeah.
But we interviewed
Hit me up on Twitter. We can set it up. Sure.
Going to do it. We interviewed Marty Appel, and Marty is a lifer with the Yankees.
Yeah,
right?
I know Marty.
And, okay.
And well, I know who he is.
Okay. Good. So we spoke to him about just the subject. I mean, have we retired too many numbers?
Yeah,
and you know his belief was they should have retired. They should have stopped it at the legends. They should have stopped it at Ruth and Gehrig and Mantle and DiMaggio, whatever else. But
right.
He said the way it continued on, because that was the intent, was after Casey was let go by the Yankees, he was bitter and refused to ever come back to Yankee Stadium.
I'm sorry, we hit the music on you. I get your point. You can call back, Sevy. I'm sorry. Hit me up. I'll come on your podcast. Sure. Happy to do it. But yeah, no, they retired too many numbers. I think that's a bit much. I think there's enough great players. Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera deserve to have their numbers retired. Don Mattingly deserves to have his number retired. But Reggie Jackson, Ron Guidry, I don't know. There are some numbers, but with what already has happened, Alex Rodriguez deserves to be there without question. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you guys for listening. Alex on the other side. Thank you very much. The warm-up show is next. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Wednesday morning. hopefully the Mets can get a win, and hopefully the Yankees don't embarrass themselves and lose a series to the Chicago White Sox. See you again at 2 o'clock in the morning. Have a great day. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.